Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Nirmal Malaikal. Tech companies are investing in nuclear power as a way to support their latest ambitions like artificial intelligence. And it makes sense. These companies require a ton of electricity. And with nuclear, they get the extra power they need directly from the source. And they look good doing it because it's carbon-free. But experts say there could be a catch for people like you and me. And it's not exactly ideal. They say it's a trend that could potentially raise utility bills. And they warn it could also reduce how reliable the nation's power system is. So, in theory, more money out of our pockets for less reliable power. Yeah, I'd pass on that too, but we may not have a choice. To learn more about this trend, I spoke with Politico's Catherine Morehouse. We talk about why nuclear, how it could impact you and me, and if there's been any pushback. It's Friday, April 19th.
So in really the last few weeks or past month or so, I've started to hear more and more about this new trend of tech companies looking to large power plants, really existing nuclear in a lot of cases, and saying, okay, here is a resource that is 24/7, it's carbon-free, and it can service my energy needs as grid resources start to become a bit more constrained. And you're definitely starting to see a few companies start to sign contracts or have conversations about this. For instance, Amazon Web Services signed a contract with power company Talen Energy to purchase a data center that shares a site with this massive nuclear plant in Pennsylvania. And there's a similar thing happening in Connecticut, where a new data center is looking at an agreement with Dominion Energy for direct access to 300 megawatts of its power plant. So really, you're just starting to see this trend pick up a little bit and starting to see more and more people, including consumer advocates and the grid operators and regulators, and look at this and say, this appears to be a real trend that's taking off, at least in the near term.
So it's the early stages of this new trend. Can you help me understand why these tech companies are looking at nuclear in the first place? Is this a supply and demand issue, or is something else a factor here?
Yeah, so to understand why these tech companies are looking at on-site nuclear, you really have to understand the big picture of where the power grid is right now. And what's happening on the power grid is we're seeing projections for demand just skyrocketing, and that's driven by domestic manufacturing, the CHIPS Act, electrification of your vehicles and your homes. You're seeing more and more data companies trying to build these massive electricity-guzzling centers. And what you're seeing at the same time, you are seeing a real potential for supply to come offline and come offline quickly. For years now, we've been seeing mostly fossil fuel power plants being pulled offline because of increased pollution controls and just the higher costs of operating those plants compared to cheaper resources like wind, solar, and natural gas, especially new natural gas. And as those resources are coming offline, it's difficult to add new resources because of all of the permitting hurdles that we've talked about before. There is an interconnection queue that is super backlogged with all these new clean energy resources that are trying to add to the system. So what that means for these large tech companies that are looking to hook up to the system and need a lot of power and a lot of power that is reliable, they see an opportunity in taking that carbon-free 24/7 power just directly from that plant. What it's called is behind-the-fence generation, where these data centers are being built on the same site as the nuclear plant. And it's a really unique opportunity for them.
Okay, I'm thinking a little selfishly, but how does this trend impact everyday customers like you and me? Like, what are the potential cost and reliability implications? And how big of an issue is this?
Yeah, so there are some serious risks. So say a large data center is connected to this plant. It is off the wider grid and it's directly taking power from that nuclear plant. All of a sudden, that nuclear plant goes down for whatever reason. Maybe it's scheduled maintenance, which is quite common. Then you have a huge surge of hundreds of megawatt, maybe even a gigawatt large data center, all of a sudden just onto the grid. And that causes real cost and congestion concerns for the wider power system. And those costs might be passed on to you and me. The other issue that I heard was it's really costly to maintain the wider power system. There are all these huge transmission costs, and transmission costs in particular are rising. if you have a large customer that would conceivably be paying a lot of money, all of a sudden off site, off the wider grid, it's no longer paying those costs. So then again, those costs get passed on to consumers potentially. And then there's also the reliability problem, of course, of you're facing this really tight supply demand issue. All of a sudden, this massive power plant is no longer feeding the wider system. I mentioned those two power plants that we've already seen contracts for. There have also been 5 gigawatts requested in the PJM interconnection, which is the largest U.S. power market, requested to basically come offline, operate behind the fence, as we talked about. So the scale of that is really potentially quite large.
So this is clearly a trend with major scope, and it's impacting people generally and our country's grid, which seems to have a lot going on right now. Are you seeing any pushback to these tech companies?
This is the very early stages. It's not yet happening at a wide scale. But where we are seeing some pushback and some response to this is in Connecticut, where this data center is contracting with a Dominion Energy-owned nuclear plant called Millstone. There have been some concerns from lawmakers, consumer advocates, regulators in the state that maybe we should hold off before we take 300 megawatts of carbon-free power off the electricity grid and see how this could potentially impact customers and impact the reliability of the system and impact, frankly, their carbon goals, as this state has ambitious goals to reach 100% clean energy. So that's just legislation to look at the potential impacts of this. The other thing that I would point out is that big tech itself says this is an issue they're looking at, and they are thinking about ways to potentially mitigate those concerns. And the other thing that they said is that this could long-term actually help drive nuclear expansion. What we're talking about here is really a short-term solution of, okay, there isn't enough power for now, so let's just get the supply onto these nuclear power plants. We see an opportunity there. But in the longer term, of course, what these companies really want to see is they want to be building advanced reactors and some of those reactors that have been really difficult to get on the ground on site with their data centers. And that could be potentially huge because, again, we're having trouble getting these advanced nuclear reactors to scale. So that's a potential solution there. And it would also solve the demand problem. But in the immediate term, we have a bit of a conflict here, which is really, at the end of the day, fighting for electrons on the grid.
Also, President Joe Biden's controversial pause on new permits for liquefied natural gas exports is expected to end around March 2025. That's what an Energy Department official told lawmakers on Thursday, which is the most specific timeline to date we've heard of. The pause began earlier this year and has infuriated Republicans and some Democrats. As a reminder, DOE is basically reviewing how it includes climate and other factors into its decisions about whether a new LNG export project is in the public's interest. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch. And subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Catherine Morehouse is the usual host of this podcast. I'm the podcast producer. Annie Reese edited the podcast this week. Matt Daly and Gloria Gonzalez are the show's editors. And that's it for today. I'm Nirmal Malaikal, and we'll see you back on Monday.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline, and they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.